We're starting a new series today called God's Tough Love. God's Tough Love. This is February, of course. Now we're officially into the month, and it's a month when minds migrate to hearts and flowers and love because of, well, Valentine's Day. It seems like a particular holiday in a month seems to set the mood for the whole month at times. Yet, I'm sure most of you would agree with me that if love was in the air last week, it felt more than a bit chilly. Because we so often associate love with things warm and fuzzy, not cold and icy. And that's perhaps why the idea of tough love is so hard to grasp. It's been called being cruel to be kind. Ever heard that expression? But more than one person I've known claims there's no such thing as tough love. It's really just a way of trying to excuse heartlessness. That they just say, well, that's not love. There couldn't possibly be love in that. Is there such a thing as tough love, or is it just that? Is it just something people say to excuse when they're tired of loving? They're tired of caring. They're tired of demonstrating kindness, and they're just run out of patience. Well, the best way to find the answer, I believe, is to ask the author of love. Is there such a thing as tough love? And I'm talking about asking the one who literally wrote the book about love. Does God, who is love, ever advocate tough love, and perhaps even practice it at times? Now, the Hebrew writer gives the simple answer. And if you'd like to follow along your Bibles, and you turn your Bibles to chapter 12 of Hebrews, we're going to begin reading in verse 5. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, but you'll be able to follow along and see the concepts just fine with whatever translation you're reading from this morning. In verse 5, it says, my child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. And don't be discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of us who are his children, it means that you're illegitimate and not really his children after all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to the discipline of our heavenly Father and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the very best they knew how. But God's discipline is always right and good for us because it means we'll share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Okay. Like it or not, and God knows we don't like it, he does indeed exercise tough love. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he knows what's best for us, the ones he loves. Why? Because he knows that it is what's needed for the occasion for those he loves. That's what it says. The text is very clear. Now, I want to share just a few things with you about God's tough love, though. First of all, it may be punitive, but it is not judicial. Bear with me. Some translations have softened the idea, perhaps because the idea of corporal punishment, physical discipline, has been banned in our society. It's believed to be harsh and cruel with no possible benefit. Yet the word translated punishes in our text is the same one used to describe the beating that Jesus received before being crucified. In fact, in every other instance as well in the New Testament, it always refers to scourging or flogging. Now, am I suggesting that God brutally assaults his children? No way. Of course not. And neither is the Hebrew writer. But to say that his correction isn't painful at times totally denies the impact of the text. He's very plain about it. Now, there's a huge difference between striking a child in an angry outburst and administering appropriate discipline. I pray that there's no one here today who has suffered under cruel, abusive, physical punishment that was disguised as discipline, that it was only coming out as angry. And I know there have been many people who have been abused. God doesn't abuse his children. But sometimes his discipline is painful. Most of us here probably got a swat or two growing up. Hands up if you did. More than a few. Swat or two. I, for one, should have gotten a few more whoopins, as my mom would have called them, than I did. Sometimes she said, "You're just begging for a whooping." And I said, "No, I wouldn't do that. I'd never beg." She meant, that I knew better in the way I was behaving. I knew that the discipline would be coming if I didn't stop. I'm not ashamed to admit that I spanked my children and my grandchildren when it was called for. And though I'm far from the best example of the perfect father, I have a great relationship with my kids and my grandkids. I was talking with my wife's brother on the phone the other day, and I wanted to confirm that something I had heard was true. So I asked him, and he confirmed that when he was about 8 or 9 years old, his mom had just disciplined him for behaving badly. And he asked her, he said, "Mom, why do you spank me so much?" And she says, "Because I love you." And he said, "Do you have to love me so much?" Maybe we feel that way with God sometimes, if we're going through a painful ordeal, because we're not feeling the love, or if it is really truly something that he's doing that we don't understand because he loves us, we might feel sometimes, "Do you have to love me so much?" Is there benefit of painful discipline? It seems that there's a need for this early association between pain and disobedience or rebellion. As archaic as it sounds to maybe many younger people today particularly, I remember when a paddle was included in a teacher's supplies. In middle school, I was once given a choice as to whether I wanted to stay after school or get a swat on the backside. I chose the latter. I had plans after school. Matter of fact, I remember the teacher actually had me bend down and get hold of my ankles. It was Mr. Thompson, my English teacher. And I had crossed a line, and he was going to discipline me. So he had me bend over, I grabbed my ankles, and he gave me that swat, and I just picked up my books from his desk on the way and just kept right on going out the door. I was in a hurry to get to whatever it was I was going to do. But you know what? What hurt more than the sting was the fact that I knew I deserved to be disciplined. Does God inflict painful punishment? We know we're studying, in our Bible Bowl competition right now about the plagues that he sent on the enemies, on Egypt, and boy, those were some horrible things, but surely he does not inflict pain upon his own children, does he? I want you to listen very carefully. Though God punishes his children that he loves, he doesn't punish them for their sins as a matter of justice. Now bear with me here again. David recognized this in Psalm 103. Verse 8, listen carefully. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. See, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or punish us or repay us according to our iniquities. How many of you are pleased about that this morning? If David realized that, how much more should we who've accepted Christ as our Savior find consolation in this truth? The Apostle Paul emphasizes the point in Romans 8:1 simply by saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Earlier on in chapter 6, he would have said that we as sinners deserve death, to be separated, banished from God. But thanks be to God that rather than banish us and punish us as our sins deserved, he sent Jesus, hallelujah, that we might be reconciled to him, that we might be forgiven. And he bore the punishment for our sins. He bore the penalty. And not just a little bit of it, not just some of it, all of it, every bit of it. So see, the discipline may be painful that's inflicted upon us, but it is not punishing us for our sins, because our sins have been paid for. The punishment has been borne already. So why the painful punishment if it's not to repay us, if it's not a matter of justice? What's that about? We'll get to that. See, because our Heavenly Father will still allow, even sometimes ordain, painful consequences for his children to endure. Why again? Because he loves them. In fact, if he never again disciplines his child in this way, what does it say? They're not really his child. They're illegitimate. They're not really his child. Parents can understand this, I hope. Grandparents, that, you know, if you see someone disciplining a child, whether it's verbally, whether it's corrective, you assume they have authority to do so. You would assume that. And if there's a child who's very rebellious and no one is exercising any kind of discipline, what do you think? Where in the world is this kid's parents, right? Where in the world is their mom? Where is their dad at? Or where have they been that they would behave in such a way? And it's true, according to Scripture, that when we suffer some painful consequence for sin, though it's not, again, judicial, it is with purpose, it's actually indication and proof that we're God's kids. Now, that wrap your mind around that. Try to get hold of that. So what is it for then? God's tough love is always meant to teach us and not shame us, but to teach us. There are certain disciplines in life I've had to endure where I might have preferred a beating. And I've said it, I'd rather take a beating than do that, or have to do that, or have to put up with that, or have to endure that, to go through that. But I wasn't offered the option. And sometimes the disciplines, the things that were hard and difficult and painful, weren't about physical discipline, but some other things. Some of God's disciplines are in the forfeiture, I believe, of present blessings. Though God assures us through the Apostle Paul, that his gifts of salvation, once received, are not revocable. Perhaps something else that is good could be withheld or taken away for at least a time. Any of you ever been grounded? A few have. Any of you ever been grounded for a long period of time? I know I've said to my kids before, you're grounded for life. And, you know, I didn't follow through with that, okay? I didn't ground them for life, but it was like, okay, I was upset enough and felt like the infraction was severe enough that there needed to be a severe penalty. But we know what it is to be grounded. I believe, honestly, that I was grounded for a while by my Heavenly Father, because I wasn't grounded in His Word, and I wasn't sensitive to His leading. And I missed out on a lot of the blessings that He wanted for me to enjoy in that time of rebellion, and that I've been able to enjoy since learning from the discipline. And if you think that's strange or odd, or certainly that's not biblical, I want you to listen to Jude, verse 20 and 21. Jude says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. What? Keep yourself in God's love? That seems like an odd thing to say, doesn't it? Yet Jude is not saying here, be good so God will love you. He's telling us to remain in the sphere or scope of His loving influence. Matter of fact, just a couple of verses later, verse 24 and 25, it says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the one and only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Now you hear that? Keep yourself in God's love, for He is able to keep you from falling. Staying in the scope of the love and protection and the preservation and the providence of God. Jesus' parable in Luke 15 about the prodigal son illustrates the principle pretty well. You probably know the story or have heard it. The younger son chose to leave home. Why? He didn't want to live under his father's rules. The father let him go, even though the outcome, the father knew, would not be good. When his dire circumstances brought him to his senses, finally, he's returning home, if you will, with his tail between his legs, thinking again, I don't deserve love, but maybe I can get some sympathy, maybe some mercy, maybe I can be a servant or a slave in the Father's house. I certainly don't deserve to be called a son. But when he got home, what did he find? His dad's love was just as strong as it had ever been. And the blessings abounded in the Father's house. Do you remember what he received? The ring on the finger, the shoes on his feet, the robe, the feast. See, our Heavenly Father would urge us to keep in His love, to keep in the loving relationship with Him, to stay home, or if we've left, to come back. See, sometimes the discipline of rebellion from the Father's hand is that His hand is pulled back and the blessings aren't extended. Does He still love you? Oh, yeah. And I've heard people, you know, who have heard the story of the prodigal son and said, wow, see there, I can go and do whatever I want. God will still love me. He'll still be there when I come back. And almost like an excuse, a reason why I can just do whatever I want, live my life the way I want. If that's what they get from the story, as true as it might be, they're not understanding the discipline of God. God's tough love is to train us, not destroy us. I don't know many kids who are excited about having bedtimes or curfews. They don't generally like doing chores or eating healthy. Some would not mind if they never had to take a bath or brush their teeth. And if they had their choice about whether they went to school or not, or went to church or not, what would a lot of them choose? But most loving fathers and mothers don't let them make choices about things that are for their good. They want them to learn good habits, good behavior, good practices. For what? For their good. And we don't often think about discipline as being just training, but guess what? It is. Anyone here ever been in the military? Did they put you through some disciplines? Some disciplines? What was that for? Just because. It wasn't always punishment, although, you know, maybe it was. Maybe you ended up cleaning little latrines with a toothbrush. Maybe that was punitive, but so often it was just to train, teach, prepare, build you up, get you ready. Much of God's discipline, see, is that way too. It's to teach us good and healthy habits. It's to strengthen us and to help us to mature. And I think sometimes as God's children, we can be a bit like other children have been. And, you know, when we're told what God wants us to do, we're given the instruction, whether it is just that I want you to pray, and I want you to spend time in my word, and I want you to be good to others, and I want you to, that we just say, I don't wanna. I'd rather not do that. I don't want to do that. When my girls would answer in that way, I'd say, tough. My reply to my beloved daughters, they if they were here right now in the front row, they could say this with me, that I would say to them, too bad, too sad, you're dead. And they'd know this is not negotiable. This is something I want you to do, I'm insisting that you do. And the end game, see, is for our kids when we have those kind of disciplines so that they will grow up and mature and they will have, as our text even calls it, a harvest of right living. That's the goal. That's God's goal for his kids when he exercises those disciplines. Now, I realize that this lesson may be tough for some, particularly, again, if they've had some bad experience in life with some abuse that was called love. For some, it will be just tough to understand, tough to accept. But I want you to listen very carefully. God's love is also tough as nails. By that, I mean his love is strong and enduring. Even when we don't respond well to his tough love, his love is tough. Consider these words of David. In Psalm 18, verse 2 and verse 19, he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Now, the image of God as our solid rock is a very important one. See, we can be so undependable at times, can we not? But who could be depended upon? God. Though our commitment can be wishy-washy at times, God's love is a foundation that you can rest firmly upon. In Psalm 118, verse 15, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done." Now listen to verse 18. "The Lord has chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death." David was praising God, his strength. He praised him. He saw him as his salvation, but he did not separate God's love from his discipline. He trusted in that too. We need to rest our minds on that. We need to set our anchors firmly there. It was early summer in 2016 when a father at a Disney resort tried desperately to pull his 2-year-old son from the jaws of an alligator. It made national news. It reminded me of a story I heard a long time ago of a mother who also wrestled an alligator for her son. She reportedly held tightly onto his arms as the alligator tried to pull the boy into the river. A farmer heard her screams, came running, and shot the alligator, who then turned loose of the boy. A newspaper reporter said that in addition to the scars on the boy's legs from the alligator, he would always bear the scars on his arms from his mother, who would not let. Now, I was unable to substantiate that particular story that I'd heard. I couldn't find anything to validate that it actually happened. In the process, I did find some other stories validated, and testimony was accompanying it where similar things had happened. A woman in India beating off a crocodile who was trying to take her daughter, and she saved her daughter. I know this. Satan, the evil dragon, seeks to kill and destroy. But God's tough love will win out in the end. It will. And sometimes the discipline that we receive in life that we maybe attribute to Satan is really God trying to prepare us, build us up so that we can withstand the attacks of the enemy. So that we will be wise and not go too close to the shore where he's lurking. We won't wander off into places away from the protection of God. I think it's interesting that in John 10, 27 through 29, it's Jesus himself who says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Who's he talking about? The children of God. They listen. They pay attention. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And I love this. "No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I don't know what you're going through now. I don't know what you're dealing with. Oh, I know what some of you are. And there can be some very painful trials and struggles and difficulties. But we're to look at every hardship, the text says, as discipline. In other words, what are we to learn from it? What can we learn from this? But I want you to know this. that wherever it's coming from, whether it is discipline from God or it is an attack from the outside, God is with his children. He loves his children. His son Jesus paid the penalty already for our sins. He loves us. He will hold on to us. That is tough love. I'm glad for it, aren't you? I praise God for his tough love, that he loves me enough to discipline me, and he loves me so much that though he will sometimes turn me loose, he never turns me loose. Never. His love always wins out in the end. In the next few weeks, we're going to look at some examples in Scripture and talk more practically about how God's discipline, how God's training is done, and help you to hopefully discern what God may be wanting us to learn in the process of that. But for right now, just praise him that his love is so strong and he's holding on to you so tightly. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. That God, I want to thank you too, though, that doesn't mean that you just leave us alone. You've not abandoned us to our own choosing without speaking into our lives, without reaching into our lives in ways that demonstrate that you care, that you genuinely care, and that you want what's best for us. That our sins are paid for, but that sanctifying process, that sometimes is a bit more difficult. Not for you, but we make it difficult. Help us to keep in your love, knowing that you keep us in your heart. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.